Well, we're standing here in Gort in the midst of two rare phenomena of modern Ireland, a beautiful sunny day and the sound of construction equipment going on in the background. And we're actually on what will be the new Gort railway station when the Western Rail Corridor opens up through this part of South Galway. And I'm joined here by Miles McHugh. Miles, you're Éireann Róid Éireann's Service Planning Manager for Intercity Networks, a hard tag to get onto a business card. What are we looking at and when will we see this in action?
Well, Dave, what we're looking at here today is the finalisation of the work on Gort Station here. Now, Gort Station will be reopened. We've built two new 90-metre platforms. They will have passenger accommodation for shelters. They will also have full CCTV, which can be monitored remotely. And you'll also see just ahead there the new modern signalling. Currently, the signal is at red, but very soon I'm hoping it'll go to green.
Be green for go. And to put this into context, we're in Gort. This will be part of the latest stage in the Western Rail Corridor. It will bring us from Ennis to Athenry and, as a consequence, linking up with Galway. We're looking at, what, a September opening for this?
We're looking at a September opening. We've renewed 36 miles of track between Ennis and Athenry, which effectively links Limerick with Galway.
Will it be an economic success? Can it be an economic success? Or is this more of maybe a social contribution to joined up thinking in the West?
Well, there's both. I mean, we will be working hard to raise every penny that we can and every cent that we can for this railway and to get as many people to travel on it as we can. The reality of railways is that a subvention is needed. There is a public service obligation there and government pay that, and we're happy to do that. That applies to many of our routes throughout the country, and this route will be no different. I do think, though, that there is potential here. The capital investment is such that the amount of labour-intensive work that will be required is very little. All our signals are automated, all our stations are going to be automated. So it will be pretty economic to run from that point of view.
Some of the critics of this would say, you know, you're looking at a substantial cost, I think about 100 million for this portion of the line. Some have said that this could lose the entire line when this, if and when it's developed from Sligo down to Limerick. You could be looking at 30 million euro of a loss in a year. That would be a substantial loss. Or do you think that's way over the top?
Well, I think that kind of figure is way over the top. I think that railways work a lot more efficiently and economically than that now. The rail structure in this country and the rail network is a network. It's very much a radial network in and out of Dublin. One of the things that this part of it will do for us is we'll connect Galway with Limerick and onwards to Cork, so that people can make the decision. We're opening opportunities to people. We're competing against new roads. We're competing against other infrastructure that's out there. But in the end of the day, people will make up their own minds based on the quality of the service we provide for them. One of the important things, I think, about rail travel is that new rail projects are a slow burn. You don't get instant success in year one. You don't get instant success in day one. I'm long enough working in the railway to know that if you put the service there, people will support it. And they need certainty that it's there, and they need certainty that it's efficient and it's economic and that it offers good service.
As I was saying at the start, we're in an unusual place looking at building workers in action. How many are employed on this project, particularly in Gort, but all along the thing? I mean, are there a substantial number of local jobs out of something like this?
Obviously, when you spend in the region of 100 million, you generate quite a number of jobs. The building work here has been done by a local contractor from the Ballinasloe area, and who would have done most of the stations along this route. And a lot of the actual relaying was done by our own staff.
I'm joined now by Michael O'Grady. Michael, you have a fantastic modern new hotel in the middle of Gort. Will you be on the platform here collecting hundreds of passengers on a daily basis as they come in off the train?
Well, we hope to. First of all, we would see this as a big stepping stone to provide transport into Galway and get people to come and live in Gort, or to provide transport even to Ennis, where people already are commuting to Ennis and Galway. But Galway particularly, where they're commuting by car, and you're looking at 3/4 of an hour of a backup in traffic every morning to try and get into Galway, whereas they can hop on a train and be in Air Square in probably 20 minutes.
You honestly see tourism potential as a result of the rail in particular. Do you see an increase in numbers for yourself in this?
We do very much. One of the things that we're going to look at now is in selling package holidays for golf. We have a fantastic 18-hole golf course designed by Christy O'Connor. And if you look at societies and golf other golf clubs who go on outings, that we would package this where somebody would sit on a train and arrive down to Cork, and we would provide, pick them up there, bring them to the golf course, bring them back to the hotel for meals, and hopefully that they do maybe a two-night, three-night stay.
Yeah, just one thing that I forgot to ask you, Miles, about this. This will be a slow train service, am I right on that? Is that the technical description of it?
Well, not really. I mean, the train will be travelling at 60 miles an hour. But no, I mean, we'd be doing Galway to Limerick in less than 2 hours. And when you consider that it's not a direct as the crow flies journey, what I think people should look at the opportunities that it's going to create. It's going to create commuting opportunities that we haven't even imagined yet.
This part of the line was a given. It was so far down the road before the cutback started. From Athenry up through Tuam and on up through Claremorris and now into Sligo. Maybe it's too much of a political question, but do you think that it will see the light of day on track about 2014?
Well, all I'll say on that, Dave, is that Éire nó Éireann will deliver whatever we're asked to do.
Miles McHugh concluding that report from Gort, and obviously that was all very positive, but this whole project has been dismissed by some as pure folly and by others as a waste of money. Well, to that end, we're joined by Mark Gleeson, spokesperson for Rail Users Ireland, who sees very little justification for almost any of this. And from the other side, Chris Coughlin, who's the chairman of the Traffic and Transportation Forum of Galway Chamber, who is very much in favour of the Western Rail Corridor and indeed who has actively campaigned for it. Mark, perhaps given the positivity of our report, first of all, can you tell us, Rail Users Ireland, what group is that, or what kind of a group is that?
Oh, we're a voluntary organisation made up of rail passengers based across Ireland.
And why would a group that represents rail passengers be opposed to the extension of the rail network?
We're not opposed to the extension of the rail network. We welcome extensions of the rail network, but we see priorities in the system. And we see the Western Rail Corridor as not being the highest priority. We see it being driven by political will instead of being driven by the actual needs of the actual country. We still have massive congestion in Dublin. We still have delays in the delivery of the improved rail services in Cork. Cork Midland will be opening, but the other two promised stations in Cork will not be opening. And an awful lot of Éire nó Éireann's infrastructure investment team has been focused on the Western Rail Corridor. Well, for instance, the Dublin-Cork main line now has 23 temporary speed restrictions on it.
But what about the notion of balanced development, addressing issues in the West the same as in the East, the notion of a national spatial strategy? Isn't something like a rail network should be a given in a project like that? And equally, isn't state subvention for rail networks across Europe, the world, a given as well?
I think rail is highly unlikely to make a profit unless you're in a Japanese high-density environment. I think we need to look at the priorities of investment. The only way we can measure these projects is how many people are going to move and how much they're going to deliver to the economy. We need to look, the traffic congestion in Limerick and Galway is chronic. Should we not focus on commuter services between Athenry, Oranmore, Merlin Park into Galway? The railway line is very straight, it's very direct, bypasses, is much quicker than the road, drops you straight into Ayr Square. Similarly for Limerick, why not put a proper rail service, commuter service in Limerick between Ennis and Limerick, the Nina line out to Limerick Junction and Tipperary Town, and possibly opening out as far as Patrickswell and Raheen on the closed line to Foynes. That is where there's a commuter belt, you have a strong demand, where you make a real difference to the economy of the West. You can get people to work faster and they can more conveniently and get rid of traffic congestion, which is costing us a fortune.
Okay, Chris Coughlin, what would you say to that?
Well, first of all, if you talk about rail users and people who want the rail in the west of Ireland, we've got the full backing of all the regional bodies of city and county councils, city managers, American Chamber of Commerce, who represent the foreign direct investment in the west, all the Chamber of Commerces in the areas, tourism organisations, and even down to student unions. So first of all, if you're talking about rail users, they're the rail users, they're the people who are voting for the Western Rail on the Western side. Next, if you talk about the economic aspects of it, and as Mark rightly said, it's very hard, and Miles as well, it's very hard to be economic where rail situation is. But you must remember that what you're representing here in the west of Ireland is that 25% of GDP, 25% of the population, they're taxpayers. They need to get balanced regional development and balanced payback for their monies as well. It is 0.5 of 1% of the budget for Transport 21. It's a very small ask for the west of Ireland. Now, one of the things that brings home to me over the last two weeks, I suppose, is the Volvo Ocean Race. And Mark was referring to about traffic in and out of Galway and whatever. The Volvo Ocean Race here in Galway, as everybody saw around the rest of Ireland, was a fantastic success. Now, there was an amazing amount of people attended it from all over the Western region and beyond, obviously, in the rest of Ireland and abroad. But if we had a rail system, we would have been able to bring more people from the Western Corridor. We'd have had less traffic because you wouldn't have to drive and park. It does get traffic off the road.
I mean, Mark, isn't, as you say, your original motivation, or your motivation all of this, is as a rail user. Isn't this part of the green phenomenon that you take cars off the road? Some have said that it's either a road or rail investment you should see here, not both. Would you agree with that?
I think we need to get people out of their cars. Mm. And we need to provide them with a viable alternative to take them where they want to go.
Yeah.
And I think, as Miles has mentioned, it's, you know, the question was asked, is this going to be a slow train?
Mm.
And we're looking at a two-hour journey time from Limerick to Galway.
But that's faster. Well, it's the same-ish as a car. It's faster, I would suggest, than the bus service.
It is faster at the moment. It's marginally faster. Just wait till the road comes in.
But Mark, I think people need a choice in the west of Ireland just as much as you have a choice in Dublin and other places. People have to have that choice. In Galway, you must remember, we have festivals every month, nearly every day,
I think, Chris.
I know, which is great, and that's great. But can I say it to you? So that's one thing. But if you listen to AA Roadwatch, every day of the week, you'll find that on the N17, there's 5 mile tailbacks, etc., etc. Mm. Now, I think that from a commuter's point of view, that's business commuter, work commuter, students, tourists, even medical. Now, you know, with the new policy in relation to centres of excellence, it's critical. It's critical that commuters now have a choice between road, between rail, and other forms of transport.
Do you
as
think,
well,
Chris,
of course.
Do you think, Chris, it doesn't come down to an economic argument then? From what you're saying, there's a social dynamic to this, and that's fair enough, and that's a given, and everybody should be treated equally, and all the rest of that. Yeah. Do you take it as a given that this will not make money, lose money?
I'll tell you what, if you did your pound, shillings and pence, I think we would be cheaper than most rail in the rest of the country.
Okay, I'm going to leave the last word to you on this, Mark, that effectively you must look at a bigger picture perhaps than just simply the rail and the number of users and that you're opening up the west of Ireland. You'll get the tourist revenue perhaps out of this. You're just increasing the availability of alternatives for people, and isn't that enough of a reason to do it?
I think alternatives are very important, but equally we've got to focus on actually making sure what is delivered actually meets people's expectations. The frequency has to be good enough. Commuters are going to need a train, are going to need two or three trains to get into Galway before 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Can we rely on here and there to do that? And I think if it's going to work, we need proper connections.
Yeah.
Someone can go from Galway to Limerick, possibly even from Galway to Limerick to Waterford without having to change. Yeah. And be connecting up the third level institutes there.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of student business there. The problem at the moment, Iarnruthen haven't put the second track in between Galway and Athenry, which is going to be very difficult to actually provide a high quality connected up service. People are going to be changing trains, probably Athenry, probably also in Limerick, and probably also in Limerick Junction.
Okay, and having said Mark had the last word, I'll give you the last word, Chris.
Okay, what Mark is making some very good points there. I think that we will have to work it once we get that in. As they say, you have to put something in first. You have to build on it then, both economically and socially, and also from a service point of view. And we look forward to working with Inroad Éireann in doing that. And some of the points Mark made there about connecting to Cork, to Waterford, and whatever, that is certainly the aims that we have in the West as well.
You'll be able to get home much quicker back down to Cork, Chris. But anyway, that's Mark Gleeson and Chris Coughlin. Thanks a million for that. After the break, we're off to the beach for a bit of mentoring. Chris Horn will be here on the Smart Economy and the finances of football with Nick Gleeson, all coming up after these.